From the land grant university in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 22nd day of October 2013. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. The state statisticians are back at work, and we have information from USDA NAS on harvest progress in Illinois, Iowa, Minnesota, and Indiana. We'll hear that a bit later in the program. We'll talk about the weather forecast, and we'll also hear from Dan O'Brien from K-State University Extension, where he's been watching ethanol and says profits are good at the moment, but it all depends on the price of corn, and things can change pretty quickly. We'll discuss that and what U.S. EPA and others might think about the RFS and how it could be changed as we make our way through this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Let's check now the numbers as they finished up in Chicago. For a Tuesday afternoon, December corn down 5¾ cents. The settlement price there at $4.38¼. The March at $4.51, down 5¾. And May corn at $4.59¼, down 6 cents. July futures $4.67, 5 lower. December of next year at $4.81¼, down 4½ cents on the day. And the soybeans finished $13.02¼, a penny lower. January futures at $12.97½, down 3. March contract 12.78, down 3¾, and May contract 12.60½, down 4 cents for the day. July soybeans 12.56¾, down 3¾, and next year's November contract at $11.74½ a bushel, 2¾ cents lower. Bean meal futures at $416.10, that's up 40 cents. Bean oil at $41.52, down 12 cents for the afternoon. December soft red winter wheat up a penny at $7.75. July futures or next year's contract at $7.02¾, up 2¾. And the hard red finished July of next year at $7.44½. That finished 3 cents higher. Let's check the livestock now. Mercantile Exchange live cattle futures at $131.10, up $97.5. December futures at $132.97½, $1.07½ higher, and the October feeder cattle at $166 and a nickel, up 22½ cents. November futures $167.85, up $1.45. December lean hogs $88.57½, $1.10 higher. And the February lean hog futures for 100 pounds $90.52½, finished 87½ cents higher. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. You can always find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures in the November contract at $97.80 a barrel, $1.42 lower for the day. The RBOB or wholesale price of gasoline at $2.62¾, that's 3 cents lower. And ethanol futures at $1.81¢, down a penny and a tenth. The difference between the two is now 80½ cents wide, at 2 cents narrower than it was yesterday, and natural gas at $3.59 is down 7⅞ cents on the afternoon. Diesel fuel trading $3.02¢ is 0.8 cents lower, and the gold futures at $1,342.40 an ounce, up $26.80. U.S. dollar trading 79.23 is down 0.46 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. We should see a 50-degree high, and we're already there. East-southeast winds at 8 miles an hour, gusting all the way to 17. Chance of rainfall in the area set at 100% for the afternoon. Tonight, a chance of rain, even snow, mainly before 10 p.m. Cloudy, then gradually becoming partly cloudy, a low of 29. On a northeast wind at 6 to 9 miles an hour, and then tomorrow, mostly sunny skies and a high of 47 degrees. Wednesday night, cloudy and 31. Thursday, sunny and 46. Thursday evening, clear and 28. And sunny skies on Friday with a 48-degree high. The Closing Market Report, of course, is a production of Illinois Public Media. You can find us online anytime you'd like at willag.org or dial this number, 217-333-3434. Let's check now what's been happening in the futures markets. Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities joins us on this 22nd day of October to look at the CME Group in Chicago. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Why, good afternoon, Todd.
Well, it's kind of dreary out today, cold, a little rainfall, not particularly warm. In fact, outside the studios here, just 47 degrees, and it's the start to, I guess, the fall and cool weather.
Yeah, it was 32 degrees, and the car had ice on the windshield this morning. So when we come into work, so it's the start of the fall or the coming into this cold winter we're going to see.
And what do you think about the marketplace at the moment?
You know, basically, we were down in the corn through the day and stayed down. We're, you know, flying along in harvest. We saw the new crop ratings that the government put out, increasing in quite a few places where people weren't expecting to get improvement. You generally don't see improvement this time of year. So the feelings are that the yields are picking up a little bit as to what they were expecting when we went on this, when the government shutdown happened. So that sort of stepped on the corn. The beans were traded both sides, but we still closed above $13 tonight. So we're seeing some commercial buying that is coming in from the end users in the beans. So a little bit of strength being shown there. And, of course, the wheat continues to hang on with the demand out of South America and out of Southeast Asia and a few places like that.
Is it helpful that soybean harvest is about 70% along?
Oh, I think that basically once we get along, you know, over the 60% mark and coming on down and still seeing all this demand out here, it's very helpful that the beans are holding things together right here.
Are they strong enough, do you suppose, to hold the rest of the market higher?
You know, I think that they're going to help corn not make as low a low as it probably would have. And I think between that and the wheat strength, corn, I thought, would have probably been 15 to 20 cents lower than where it is right now during this time period. And I think the beans and the wheat have held the corn from going down to those levels.
What are your fears about next year's crop, especially for corn?
You know, next year's crop, it's going to be what does the EPA do with ethanol? What can we do and how low can we get this carryover? But, you know, we, as Informa told us, we're going to plant fewer corn acres. You know, South America is maybe going to plant fewer corn acres along the way, and we hope that we don't have too big a carryover going in. But, you know, we had a rough spring this year getting stuff planted timely, and we had a rough August as far as rain, and we're still seeing some tremendous yields. So what if we have a good year?
Producers are calling with what kinds of questions now?
You know, some of them are saying, is it time to get out of our puts? Is it time to maybe buy back something we sold at harvest? And what do we do with this corn that we are storing and putting in the bin? And, you know, one of the things we've been looking at is maybe selling some July calls above the money is to protect a little bit of our carry costs as far as the corn they're putting in the bin.
When you talk to customers around the Midwest, particularly to the West, what are you hearing about yields in places like Iowa, Minnesota, Nebraska?
You know, Iowa and Minnesota greatly varied. It depends on where you're at and what it was. But yet, overall, I think that the crop was better than they were expecting. These beans come through tremendously well with the lack of moisture in the August time period. And that way, you know, if you looked at the crop ratings from the government put out last night, it shows that they improved in those areas. So, you know, just a little bit better yield. The big question is going to be is how many acres didn't get harvested or how many were abandoned because of the early rains.
Yeah, and the prevent plant, will we see that? I'm sure we will. But the question is how much of a change, if there is any, on the crop production report due out the 8th day of November?
That, of course, is the big, big, big question mark. We all know the yields probably went up, but how many acres are we going to figure them across? You know, it's a two-number multiplier there and end up with the final product. And, you know, if one goes up and one goes down, it doesn't change things a whole lot.
Wayne, thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities. He's in Newmarket, Indiana, and joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Tuesday afternoon. You can always hear him again if you'd like at our website. The address there is willag.org. That's willag.org.
Hi, I'm Bob Culkeen, station manager here at Illinois Public Media. We just wrapped up our fall membership campaign, and thanks to the generosity of more than 560 supporters, we raised over $90,000 in just 7 days. As your local public media station, we promise to ensure that your investment in high-quality programming remains a wise choice. So from all of us here at WILL, I want to say thank you to everyone who contributed during this pledge drive.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org. That's W-I-L-L-A-G.org. Yesterday afternoon, the United States Department of Agriculture released the weekly crop progress report. It shows that as of the 20th day of October, 94% of the corn crop has matured. That compares to 95% on the rolling five-year average nationwide. 39% of the crop has been harvested around the nation. 53% is the rolling five-year average. And the condition of the crop as of last week, 43% good, 17% excellent. 94% of the soybeans are dropping leaves compared to the rolling five-year average of 97%. And 63% of that crop has been harvested nationwide. The rolling five-year average, 69%. 44% of the crop is in good condition. 13% is in excellent condition. Now, here are some of the state statisticians from the Midwest with updates from their regions.
This is Greg Tayson, state statistician for USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service Iowa Field Office with the weekly crops and weather report for the week ending October 20th, 2013. Mostly favorable weather during the week allowed corn and soybean harvest to advance and fall tillage to progress in fields already harvested. With 97% of the corn crop mature and 96% of the soybean crop dropping leaves, soybean harvest was 70% complete, while only 35% of the corn crop has been harvested, both just over 1 week behind the normal pace. Harvest progress was advancing at the slowest pace in southwest Iowa, where only 57% of the soybeans and 20% of the corn crop have been harvested. Statewide, the corn crop was rated 45% good to excellent, and the soybean crop was rated 42% good to excellent, an increase of 9 and 7 percentage points, respectively, from the September 29th ratings. Grain movement from farm to elevator was 53% moderate to heavy. 97% of the state reported adequate to surplus off-farm grain storage availability, and 90% reported adequate to surplus on-farm grain storage availability. Iowa farmers experienced below normal temperatures during the week, with temperatures for the week as a whole averaging 3 degrees below normal. Temperatures dipped below freezing over parts of the state, with Pocahontas reporting the lowest temperature of 24 degrees. However, much of southeast Iowa has yet to record a freeze this season. Near normal rainfall was experienced with a statewide average of 61 hundredths of an inch, while the heaviest rain of 1 to 2 inches fell late Sunday to Monday afternoon on the western one quarter of the state. The rain during the week improved topsoil and subsoil moisture levels, which were rated 46% and 33% adequate to surplus, respectively. This is Greg Tayson reporting from the USDA NAS Iowa Field Office.
This is Mark Schleusener, state statistician for Illinois with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Last week was cool and dry across Illinois. The state average temperature was 2.5 degrees below normal for the week. Precipitation averaged just over 0.4 inches, and that is almost 0.3 inches below normal for this time of year. Topsoil moisture was rated as follows. 21% of acres were very short, 44% were short, 34% were adequate, and 1% of acres were rated as surplus. Subsoil moisture was reported as 25% very short, 42% short, and 33% adequate. Soybean harvest reached 68% complete. That compares to 78% 1 year ago and 67% normally. The condition of the crop was reported as 9% in very poor or poor condition, 29% of acres were in fair condition, and 62% were good or excellent. Corn harvest was 51% complete, compared to 91% last year and 61% for the five-year average. The condition of the crop was reported as 8% in very poor or poor condition, 24% in fair condition, and 68% in good or excellent condition. Winter wheat planting reached 68% complete compared to 59% normally. 24% of acres have emerged compared to 26% for the five-year average. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Dan Loftus, state statistician for the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office. Cooler and wetter than normal conditions slowed corn and soybean harvest during the week. The average precipitation statewide was 0.94 inches above normal, and that was at 1.48 inches average. Topsoil moisture supplies were rated 86% adequate to surplus, and subsoil moisture supplies were rated 67% adequate to surplus. 95% of Minnesota's corn crop was mature, that's slightly behind the five-year average of 96%. The corn for grain harvest was 19% completed. That's well behind the normal of 49% for the week. The average moisture content for corn harvested was 21%. 98% of the corn silage has been cut. Corn conditions rated 3% very poor, 9% poor, 31% fair, 46% good, and 11% excellent. 97% of the soybean crop was mature. Soybean harvest was 80% complete. That's slightly behind the normal of 83%. Soybean conditions rated 3% very poor, 10% poor, 32% fair, 47% good, and 8% excellent. The average moisture content of harvested soybeans was 13%. For the USDA NASS Minnesota Field Office, this is Dan Loftus.
This is Kiff Hurlbut of the Great Lakes Regional Office of the National Agricultural Statistics Service with the Indiana Crop and Weather Report for the week ending October 20, 2013. Scattered rain across the state slowed harvesting slightly last week. There were 4.8 days suitable for field work during the week. Some farmers are still waiting for corn to dry down, and there were a few reports of stalk weakness due to the wet conditions. 94% of the corn acreage is mature compared to 100% last year and 93% for the five-year average. 43% of the crop has been harvested compared with 70% last year and 52% for the five-year average. Moisture content of harvested corn is averaging about 20%. Soybean harvest was well underway, with average to above average yields reported. 97% of the soybean acreage is shedding leaves, compared with 99% last year and 98% for the five-year average. 64% of the soybean acreage has been harvested, compared to 66% for both last year and the five-year average. Moisture content of harvested soybeans is averaging about 13%. Conditions were good for winter wheat germination and emergence. 64% of intended winter wheat acreage has been planted, compared with 68% last year and 62% for the five-year average. 28% of winter wheat has emerged, compared to 23% last year and 24% for the five-year average. That concludes this week's Indiana Crop and Weather Report. This is Kiff Hurlbut reporting.
Our thanks go to the state statisticians for their weekly updates of crop progress across the nation. I must say, we're glad to have them back at work.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Tuesday afternoon. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Dan O'Brien from K-State Extension, that's Kansas State, joins us now to take a look at the agricultural energy markets, as he does once a month on Tuesdays. Dan, thanks for being with us. Things are changing in the ethanol industry, both in Washington, D.C. and on the profit side. Let's start with profits.
Well, with the fall in the price of corn, as we moved off into fall harvest, we've seen the cost of production for ethanol drop quite a bit or precipitously, depending on how fancy word you want to use. And we were up this last, in the spring, up to as high as 242, 245, 250, with the last set of numbers are running this through a representative plant model out of Iowa State University. We're down now to about $1.57 per gallon of ethanol. And with the price of ethanol also falling, but by not as much, again, down from, 250, 252 in the this last summer and spring months, down now to about 205, we're seeing some profitability now in the ethanol sector. Of course, that's making up for the losses that we'd seen from the January 2012 through February 2013 time frame of 14 months down where we lost about, on average, about 10 cents a gallon. Well, here, by at least our calculations here in October, we're looking at about 48 cents a gallon. Again, there are pluses and minuses to that, locational issues, et cetera, but for an industry that had lost quite a bit of money for that for a good part of 2012 and early 2013, it's a welcome relief and a chance to rebuild a little bit. I would say too it's thought provoking to see where all this will go. Generally, when prices are falling off for a commodity that's being sold, it's not common to see someone talking about the potential for for profits. But again, it's a matter of which falls off more, the cost or the revenue side of things. I would say that when you look at the price of ethanol relative to RBOB futures, that we're sitting at a level now that's at the lowest we've been in for a good amount of time. Again, ethanol prices have fallen off relative to gasoline prices, range about of ethanol of about $1.67 or $1.81 here October 1st or 18th, as opposed to $2.61, $2.67, something like that for RBOB. Sort of about 0.64, 0.68, and we'd spent a good amount of time at 0.85 to 90% through a good part of this year, in the spring especially. And the price outlook right now, if you look at the futures, November, about $1.81, falling off down to about $1.64 in January, February, and really only a slight or small marginal increase heading off into the spring months. So I guess ethanol, along with the livestock feeding industry and exports, are all in line, probably to benefit from lower prices for the users in those various sectors of agriculture. And as long as our farmers come through and have good bushels to match lower prices, then all sectors can go forth all right. It's just a matter of hopefully not being in one of those areas where you don't have yields to match the low prices.
So the profit side of the ethanol industry is looking better at this point, but there are some snags in the road ahead. One of them may come from U.S. EPA.
Yes, as you well know, there in Illinois, Scott Irwin, Daryl Good, others have been trumpeting up front, you know, the idea of how we need to be aware of what could happen with regard to the renewable fuel standards, increased growth, as opposed to the challenges presented by a level fuel usage, i.e. a blend wall issue coming into play. Well, here in the last week or so, we've had the EPA reportedly considering reducing the 2014 renewable volume obligation, I guess in official terms, i.e. the amount of ethanol that would need to be produced here in the U.S. in 2014 and 2015. Really a question of how that would be done if it were so. If this comes to bear, I think it would probably be more of a sideways move, and would, in terms of the amount of blending required, rather than continued growth. So we'd still be using quite a bit of corn for ethanol here in the U.S., but we wouldn't continue to see the mandated growth that's right now in the renewable fuel standard. Of course, this is a big issue for the U.S. ethanol industry, and they've stated publicly. You can see in various media quotations and outlets that if that action were coming to bear, that the industry would consider what moves it would make to try to make sure that the original law was kept in place. And is that legal action or legislation? We're not quite sure, but no doubt I guess the enforcement of the renewable fuel standard as it now stands is a big issue. It would have a lot to do with the ongoing profitability growth in the U.S. ethanol industry here, as we look forward to the next two or three years.
It is always interesting to watch. Dan, thank you so much.
Thanks, Todd. Take care.
You too. Dan O'Brien is with K-State University. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. This is the Closing Market Report. Back with the weather forecast in just 2 minutes.
It's National Nut Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1815, Ozzie Wilkinson died. An American blacksmith and inventor, he harnessed water power in his Rhode Island shop to make farm tools and to cut nails. In 1843, Stephen Babcock was born. An American agricultural research chemist, he is often called the father of scientific daring. He developed a test named after him, which easily measures the butterfat content of milk. The test provided an adequate standard by which fair payment for milk could be determined, which had the domino effects of aiding factory manufacture of cheese and butter. In 1877, Frederick Twort was born. An English bacteriologist, He was the first to publish a method for isolating and culturing the bacteria that causes John's disease, or chronic dysentery of cattle. And in 1896, Charles Glenn King was born. An American biochemist, he was a pioneer in the field of nutrition research who isolated vitamin C. King also established the functional role of vitamin B, and he made significant contributions over a 40-year career in the areas of fat and enzymes. King's public service activities included creation of USDA's Plant, Soil, and Nutrition Laboratory, and he helped establish the Food and Nutrition Board. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit of Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Tuesday afternoon. Don Day always joins us. Some day weather from Cheyenne, Wyoming, to take a look at the weather forecast for the Midwest, the nation, and the planet. He's here now. Let's start in the Midwest, Don, where harvest continues. A lot of the beans are out, but corn harvest is really getting a good start. And I guess it's kind of chilly out there, and that's normal.
Yeah, it's good. There's two waves of chili coming, the wave that's coming through right now, and then there's a bigger wave that's going to be coming next week, especially early to mid-next week across a good chunk of the nation's midsection, as October going to end on a pretty active note.
What kind of cold weather are we talking about?
Well, we're talking about what should be before this week's over. We'll have temperatures below freezing in some areas in the northern and north central areas of the Corn Belt. The second wave of cold that's coming in next week has got some potential to bring even colder weather our way. So there will be areas of freezing temperatures that will extend pretty far south. And there's also going to be a fair amount of precipitation with these systems as they come on in.
It's late enough in the season that this isn't really a hard freeze that will damage much, I would think.
Probably not. Let's hope not. But this is the real McCoy. These two fronts, they're going to pack a fair amount of cold air as they come in.
Any rainfall?
Yeah, there is. There's going to be some rain. There will also be some snow on some of the back edge of the system, especially rainy and wet in Illinois, Wisconsin, Iowa, Missouri, southern Minnesota, into northern Indiana, southern Michigan, northwest Ohio.
You know, I was all good until you said snow.
It's almost November.
I guess it is, but snow comes in December, man, not November, or certainly not in October. Maybe we better look at some other places around the planet, because they're getting started with the spring growing season in South America. How's it setting up for Argentina and Brazil?
Okay, as we take a look down south, right now it looks pretty active, especially Brazil, in terms of chances for precipitation. There's going to also be some chances for some unsettled weather in southern Argentina. Brazil looks like the best opportunities for getting moisture.
And if you hopscotch around the planet, what other places have you been watching closely?
As we go over to Europe, Western Europe is going to be getting a little bit more active, a little bit more stormy. The Ukraine is a little bit on a warmer and drier side.
Okay, thanks so much, and we appreciate you taking the time with us.
Thank you.
Don Day is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report for this Tuesday afternoon. Have a great day. Be safe in the combine. I'm Todd Gleason.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Hi, I'm Bob Culkeen, station manager here at Illinois Public Media. We just wrapped up our fall membership campaign, and thanks to the generosity of more than 560 supporters, we raised over $90,000 in just 7 days. As your local public media station, we promise to ensure that your investment in high-quality programming remains a wise choice. So from all of us here at WILL, I want to say thank you to everyone who contributed during this pledge drive.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and drydown data, is at AgriGold.com.